"What do you mean?" Steinar asked gently, for there was something in her voice, in her manner, that said more than her words. She looked at him for a moment, then glanced at the two boys, who were watching her and the Archbishop with wounded, anxious eyes. "Your Eminence," she said obliquely, "these are my sons, Timothy, Eric, and Stephen." Timothy, the older of the two, bobbed his head, his expression wary, as his mother introduced him, but Stephen only stared at the Archbishop. The younger boy's grief and tension cut Steinar like a knife, and he released one of Madame Dennis's hands to reach out to the youngsters.
"Timothy," he said,
and gripped the lad's hand in the clasp of an equal before he released it to lay that same hand lightly on the younger boy's head.
"Stephen, I know what's happened in your lives over the last few months has been frightening. I can't begin to imagine how your mother managed to get you to Caris. But know this, both of you. You're safe here, and so is she. No one will harm you or threaten you, and I know I speak for King Caleb when I tell you all three of you will be taken under his personal protection, and mine."
Stephen's lower lip quivered. Timothy's expression was more guarded, more wary, but after a moment he nodded again.
"May you and I speak privately for a moment, Your Eminence?" Adderai requested.
Her eyes darted once more, briefly, towards the boys, both of whom were still looking at Steinar, not her, and the Archbishop nodded.
"Of course."
He stepped to the office door and opened it, looking out into Usher's office space.
"Brian, would you please take Timothy and Stephen here down to the kitchen and see if Cook can't find them something to eat?"
He looked back over his shoulder with a smile.
"It's been quite a while since I was your age, boys, but I seem to recall that it was impossible to ever really keep me fed."
The briefest of answering smiles flashed across Timothy's face, then vanished. He looked anxiously at his mother for a moment, and she nodded.
"Go with the father," she said gently. "Don't worry about me. As the Archbishop says, we're safe now, I promise." "But..."
"It's all right, Tim," she said more firmly. "I won't be long."
"Yes, ma'am,"
he said after one more moment of hesitation and put his hand on his brother's shoulder.
"Come on, Stiv. I'll bet they've got hot chocolate, too."
He walked Stephen out the door. The younger boy's head turned, keeping his eyes fixed on his mother until the door closed between them, and Steinar turned back to face her himself.
"Please, Madame Dennis," he invited. "Be seated."
He ushered her to a seat at one end of the small sofa in a corner of his office, then sat at the other end, half turned to face her, rather than resuming his place behind his desk. She looked around the chamber, biting her lower lip, obviously seeking her composure, then returned her eyes to him.
"My boys know their father is dead," she said, "but I haven't told them yet how he died. It hasn't been easy, but I couldn't risk their betraying themselves until I had them someplace safe."
"They're safe now," he reaffirmed gently. "You have my promise, both personally and that of my office."
"Thank you."
She looked at him steadily, then her nostrils flared.
"I'm truly grateful for your promise, and I know nothing you've done was out of personal enmity to Eric. And yet, I hope you'll forgive me, but I can't quite separate your actions from what happened to him."
"Nor should you be able to," he replied. "Not yet, at any rate. And no one could blame you if that separation never comes to you. I won't pretend your husband was universally loved here in Caris, because he wasn't. Yet he was never hated either, or not to the best of my knowledge, at any rate. For myself, I never considered him an evil man, as I do the Grand Inquisitor. I only felt he was weak and, forgive me, corrupt. Corrupt with that taint of corruption which clings to the entire Council of Vicars and all of the senior members of the Episcopate."
He was weak, she agreed, her eyes once more brimming with tears. But he was stronger than I ever guessed, too. Certainly stronger than he ever suspected he might be. That strength came to him at the end.
Tell me,
he invited softly, and she drew a deep, ragged breath. A tear broke free and ran down her cheek, and she squared her shoulders like a soldier facing battle.
I was there.
Her voice was low, hoarse.
I had to be there. I saw every single thing they did to him before they finally let him die. It took hours, Your Eminence. He wasn't even a human being anymore at the end. Only a broken, flayed, bleeding thing. And Mother Church called that justice.
Her voice hissed as she delivered the final word like a curse. More tears broke free, but there was a fierce, blazing anger in those wet eyes as she looked at the man who had replaced her husband as the Archbishop of Carus.